Thanks for listening to this podcast. I'm Bob Kinzel, co-host of Vermont Edition. Just wanted to let you know that this has been edited for brevity.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. As Vermont's unemployment rate rocketed from about 2% to something north of 20% in a matter of days, the state's antiquated system for processing claims crumbled under the pressure. The backlogs and delays left many Vermonters without any compensation for a month or more, and many resorted to calling the Labor Department dozens, if not hundreds, of times a day. Now, even the best of systems might have struggled with such a rapid influx of claims, but Vermont's system, antiquated, unwieldy, and built in an ancient historical time, at least as far as internet technology is concerned, had no chance of keeping pace. Acting Labor Commissioner Michael Harrington described it this way.
The system was built 40 years ago on a COBOL mainframe system. You've probably seen them in your dentist's office, is the last time I ever saw one, which is it has the screen with a bunch of, it's probably a black screen with different colored lettering on it, and you literally tab through the selections on the screen. Mm-hmm. You don't use a mouse, right? And you're using some rudimentary form of entering data for this mainframe system to compute. By the way, the system was also built in a time when there were no email addresses. And so there's actually literally no way in the system to capture an email address because those did not exist back then.
Acting Labor Commissioner Michael Harrington there speaking 2 weeks ago on Vermont Edition. State officials have known for years that this is a system that needs to go. In fact, the state even entered into two different multi-state consortiums to try to get to a better place. So why are we still using an antiquated COBOL mainframe in 2020? And what other IT systems do we need to pay attention to? Joining us now to talk about that is John Quinn, Secretary of the Agency of Digital Services and the state's Chief Information Officer. John, did I surprise you?
I lost connection for a couple of minutes there, so I'm just coming back on.
Good. Well, I'm glad we got you at the right time. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on today. I appreciate it.
And I mean, I suppose it's not really your department if you lose connectivity on an internet connection, but it does speak to some of the challenges of IT systems in Vermont, even in 2020.
Certainly, you know, especially with all that's going on today, I have my wife is downstairs teaching her second grade class while I have two children trying to log into their classes to do their work as well. So four wow. families on a rural DSL internet connection is not ideal, but we're making the best of it.
I feel your pain, and I especially appreciate you trying to navigate children at home and doing a show like this. So thank you very much. Can you talk a little bit about, let's look specifically at the beginning here about the unemployment insurance system, because that is the one that failed so spectacularly, although probably not all that surprisingly, when you have, you know, thousands upon thousands of Vermonters discovering they're unemployed and then trying to file unemployment claims. We heard Michael Harrington there talk a little bit about what the system is like, and those who have been to the dentist may recognize the system he's talking about, where somebody's inputting information into each, and sort of tabbing through into each area. Why is that the system that we have? I mean, was it a good system 30, 40 years ago? And why do we have it now?
Yeah, I think, you know, part of the complication is federal funding, and the department, the U.S. Department of Labor gives the Vermont Department of Labor the majority of their budget each year. So when we talk about system upgrades and what people have for systems, the Department of Labor has been largely dependent on what they receive from the U.S. Department of Labor. And I don't know exactly how many years ago, but I'll say about 10 years ago, the U.S. Department of Labor came up with a plan to issue money to states that were willing to join a consortium to rebuild their unemployment systems. And part of that process was, or part of that, one of the hooks to get that money was you had to join a consortium with other states. Vermont joined a consortium with a couple of other states, and due to a number of factors, Vermont decided to get away from that consortium, and it proved to be the right thing because still to this day, that consortium still does not have a working product. And so, you know, we'll move ahead a few years to 2016, and Vermont decided to join a consortium with Idaho and North Dakota, And that project has been struggling for a couple of years. We've added outside vendors, we've added project managers, we've added IT leads that had specific mainframe knowledge, and still we had problems in this consortium model because of the way each state runs their UI UI systems a little differently. Governance became an issue, and it was clear over the past year or so that this was not going to work for Vermont, and it was not working for Idaho, and it was not working for North Carolina. So Governor Scott and the two governors of those states got on the phone and said, you know, we're involved now. What can we do to make this work? And so Governor Scott came back, and the other governors came back to their staff saying, you know, what are the bare minimums we need out of this thing in order to make this a successful partnership? And when we all came back to the board, it was very clear that it wasn't going to work. So Governor Scott, along with the other two governors, decided that we needed to separate and go our own ways, unfortunately. So that puts us to where we are today. We were wrapping up that consortium or dissolving that consortium when COVID-19 came into play in Vermont. So as far as what the future looks like, we're still in that phase of, you know, do we join another consortium? Do we use state taxpayer money to go out to a vendor for systems? And we were starting to do some of that work. And a price of a new system, you know, on the back of the napkin was about $37 million. So these systems are not cheap.
And, you know, Secretary Quinn, one of the things that you're bringing up in what you just told us is how complicated it is even to move away from the system we have, because we're talking about federal dollars and a federal and state program. And then you're working with other states to potentially update the IT system for unemployment claims. But there's no, you know, nationwide federal program or system in place. And so states are sort of left to their own to do it. But states aren't necessarily going to want to put a whole heck of a lot of their own money into this upgrade and may not have the money for it. I mean, it sounds like it's just a complicated thing to try to fix. And because of that, is it something that, even though the state has been aware for many years, as you said, more than a decade, that this is a system that needs upgrading, that it's something that just never quite becomes a high enough priority for the state to want to fund on its own?
Yeah, you know, I can only speak to the time that I've been in this position, but you know, when we talk about state priorities, you know, there's competing priorities all over the state, whether it's making sure that most vulnerable are protected and that we're growing the economy and making Vermont more affordable and trying to equal those things out across the state. And I think everyone can agree, we didn't see this coming. We didn't see this kind of pandemic coming through and closing down everything to where we would see an increase of numbers from 4,000 or 5,000 people on unemployment to 83,000 submitting claims. And so, it, you know, usually during an economic downturn, there's a slow, gradual rise of unemployment. And then in this case, you know, it happened all at once. I think if we had, you know, been able to project this a couple of years ago, the state may have put some money towards this. But again, we were in the middle of this consortium. And one of the drawbacks to being in the consortium is once you get in, once you take those federal dollars, the U.S. Department of Labor holds the stick over you saying, if you get out of this consortium, you're going to potentially have to pay us back all that money. So again, that's probably why it took us so long to get out of this last consortium, was because there was the threat of having to repay.
And to be clear,
U.S. Department of Labor.
The Vermont doesn't have to repay the Department of Labor for getting out of this multi-state consortium?
We're still working through those details. I do not believe we'll have to pay as long as we join another consortium. And I think, you know, that's a conversation that we need to have with the legislature. We need to have it with the governor once we know all of our options and really talk through what are the benefits and drawbacks of this federal money.
So, you know, you were saying nobody could have predicted this pandemic, and whether or not that's true in sort of a global scale, I mean, there were people who were predicting a pandemic, but it's certainly not. Right. We weren't anticipating what something like this would do to the state's unemployment insurance system and to unemployment in general. Nonetheless, you know, as you've just said, this is a system that everybody knew needed to be replaced, and it hasn't been. So it's not that we could have predicted this, but everybody knew there was going to be a problem at some point, and in fact, that this was an unwieldy system even without this kind of mass influx of unemployment claims, right?
Sure. I think, you know, to back up a little bit, I'll take you back to 2017. The governor and the legislature created the department or the Agency of Digital Services. Before that, every department had their own IT staff, had their own IT priorities. There was no strategic vision for IT in state government. We didn't know how many applications, how many computer programs we had across our entire enterprise. We didn't know what one agency was doing about cybersecurity compared to another. Over the past 3 years, we know that we have over 1,400 different applications that we're now trying to support and consolidate and to reduce the number to be able to build staff capacity to be able to work on projects to upgrade things. So I think we've come a long ways in a short time, but there's a massive load here. And it's not just the Department of Labor, whether it be Human Services and Department of Children's and Families. They both have old systems with very large dollar price tags, or the DMV and some of their older systems. And I think, you know, historically speaking, the other priorities have come up that have been more directed towards frontline need, whether it's, you know, some of the assistance programs that we offer. But it's certainly not just the Department of Labor that have older systems.
Well, we've gotten some notes from listeners about systems that they are also concerned about. So we can just read a couple of those now and
sure,
Tick through some of the priorities. Linda wrote in to say all state IT should be updated. The system that supports the work of the Child Development Division needs to be upgraded in order to continue to support families, the early childhood field, and to collect necessary data. Investment in IT is greatly needed. Do you agree? I mean, first of all, about investment in IT is greatly needed, more so than it is currently happening. And is the Child Development Division a particular area of focus?
I think we can all agree that IT needs a higher level of funding. But again, it comes down to priorities across the state and where the priorities and the dollars will fall. I think Governor Scott has done a great job of lifting up the cybersecurity aspect of protecting Vermonters' data and protecting our applications. Over the past couple of years, we've created partnerships with Norwich University to do cyber monitoring. He's allowed money in the budget for network upgrades, as well as different tools for faster detection and faster response if incidents do happen. So I feel like we've made some good practice, but we're still rebuilding that foundation. And to speak specifically to child family needs or Department of Children's and Families, they have a lot of old systems. They are working. We do our best to maintain them. But that is certainly an area that I see that have older systems. And I think the legislature has been briefed on that as well, knowing that our child welfare system is, I'm going to get the exact age wrong, but it's probably a 20-plus year old system, and the price tag on that is $15 million. So when you start looking at, you know, some of these systems, eligibility being $200 million, DMV being $40 million, these are really big price tags on these systems. So the way we've chosen to go about updating is to break it down into smaller modules, so to speak. And we think, take things like case management, something that everyone does across the state, and you can call it customer relationship management as well. We've picked common platforms for people to join, and we use a company called Salesforce, and we're building new applications from anywhere from a week to 3 weeks. So we've built a number of good applications that have helped modernize some of these things. And I'll give you just a few examples because I think it's really important to understand. The Department of Aging and Independent Living, we built a housing inspection program in 10 days on a modern platform. Medicaid payment quality assurance, that's kind of like a fraud detection program. We built that in 2 weeks. The pandemic unemployment assistance application for people that are self-employed, the IT portion of that was done in 5 days. That's a brand new program. The school-led reporting system, another thing that we built in a very short period of time. So we're modernizing programs and applications as fast as we can, but the really big price tagged items are just a little out of reach still from a financial standpoint.
So, you know, you mentioned the pandemic unemployment assistance program and that you had to build that up, you said, in a matter of 5 days. And this is because this is a new program. This is separate from how unemployment insurance claims had been filed in the past, because the type of people who are eligible for the pandemic unemployment assistance are often self-employed, independent contractors, not people who would have been able to file under the old system. Why can't we just move all of the old eligible people into the PUA system if that's better and you were able to build it in 5 days?
I'm not an unemployment expert. I don't work for the Department of Labor. So there's a number of rules and processes that an applicant has to go through in order to qualify for one or the other. But there's a back-end component, and the systems are different. And I would need to get a policy person on the phone to be able to tell you exactly why. But that's the kind of thinking that ADS is doing. How do we get paid? How do we get people paid the fastest? And how do we, you know, do this in a way that protects Vermont and Vermonters at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the confusing part for somebody who's not involved in IT systems and technology and building new mainframes is, if it was so easy to get the PUA system up, why is it so hard to fix the old unemployment system? You know, just on an extremely basic level, why can't we do something like that with the unemployment insurance system that we currently have?
Right. I think to some extent, we have on the front side of the system. So before COVID-19, the way you put in your initial claim for unemployment was you had to call in. As COVID-19 made its way to Vermont, we were able to stand up a Salesforce application on the front end so people could fill out an online form rather than call in. Our phone lines became extremely overwhelmed in a very short period of time. So by standing up this front-end application, we were able to take on 30 or 40,000 applications in the matter of, you know, the time that a call center could have taken on 1,500. So even though it's not a perfect solution based on the amount of time that we had, I think that we're able to get Vermonters information from them to process claims faster by doing some of these things, even though it may not appear so on the Vermonters from the Vermonter perspective, because a lot of it's behind the scenes.
Let's go to Steve, who's calling in from Montpelier. Hi, Steve. Go right ahead.
I thought it was noteworthy that the secretary mentioned a $37 million price tag done on the back of a napkin. And I want to just call to the attention or ask the secretary to respond. The fact that this agency was launched by executive order without a plan and then proceeded to persuade the legislature to eliminate the planning requirements. The plan that used to be in statute, which I helped write 20 years ago, required a cost-benefit analysis of these systems prepared 5 years ahead of time and privacy and public access implications assessments. And the secretary lobbied to remove all those planning requirements. And now we just have this high-level strategic vision, which really has no accountability in it. And I see the system kind of crumbling or, you know, turning with the wind rather than having a documented plan to guide successive administrations.
Steve, that's thanks for thanks for your comments. What do you think, Secretary Quinn?
Yeah, thanks for your call, Steve. Steve and I talk about this quite a bit, and you can find all of our statutes online that dictate what our annual report gives to the legislature, including cost savings. To date, we've saved or avoided $10 million in costs around IT systems by reusing licenses that we had in other parts of state government, being able to cross state government with employees. Our strategic plan is updated every year and is on our website. We also have a performance dashboard on our website that rates how we're doing. And we do that by sending surveys out to our customers across state government where they can rate us on different things. So everything from dollar amounts to, service levels are all on our website and accessible to the public. And we certainly hold ourselves accountable to our customers who our direct customers are agencies that we serve. Our indirect customers are Vermonters, and we take that very seriously and know that the implications affect everyday lives of Vermonters. So we have plans. I think, Steve and I go back and forth on whether or not they meet his need, but anyone that would like to look, it's digitalservices.vermont.gov.
Scott says investing in IT would be a foolish waste of money. Maintaining the equipment, infrastructure, and staffing necessary to prepare for something like the coronavirus and the unemployment surge is very likely never going to happen again. It would be a tragic waste of money to prepare and maintain a system that could accommodate a situation that only happens once a century. Secretary Quinn, do you think could we create a system that works better for the modern era that could also handle a surge like this, but not create it for a surge that is unlikely to happen? I mean, what's the thinking moving forward as we try to work through all the various scenarios that people can come up with when they're creating a new system?
Sure. And I think that's part of our five-year strategy, the one that Steve spoke to that we didn't have. One of the things that we're looking to do because of staffing constraints, because of dollar constraints, is to move us from this model of needing $15 million this year, maybe five next year, 30 the next year, 10 the next year, and move us to an operating model where we're using software as a service. And that's getting a little technical for the audience probably, but what that means is a company like a Microsoft or a Salesforce or Oracle would support the application. They know best. They own the application. We would be the front end support of being able to add users and restrict access. But by being in a software as a service model, it levels out our operating cost over time and gives us ability to scale up and scale down as we need resources. So in the state's infrastructure, we can add things like more memory and more processing power, but we're limited because of the size of what we have here. In some of the bigger software as a solution services, you can scale up as much as you need. So as we look towards what we're doing next for the Department of Labor, we'll be talking about software as a service and making sure that whatever we do is scalable. So when we do see, if we do see another pandemic in our lifetime, that we'll be able to easily scale up. What that doesn't cover is the other side of the equation, the business side of the equation. And, at the moment we're talking about labor, but it could be any service that we offer, right? So making sure that we're offering technology solutions that are scalable, but that can also meet the need of the business side, and making sure that they can keep up with whatever we're doing, or at least have plans to keep up with those type of surges.
I mean, the other question, though, once you're involving, well, I suppose also for state systems, certainly in this day and age, is security and cybersecurity. And how do you make sure that all of the information you're collecting about Vermonters, which in some cases is pretty extensive and very personal, is kept safe?
That's right. And I think, that was part of the rebuilding our foundation when ADS was created 3 years ago. Governor Scott has put a lot of money in our budget, and so has the legislature, because they all understand how cybersecurity has become such an important thing in today's day and age. So we've instituted a number of things like executive branch employees taking basic cybersecurity training. We stood up a new cybersecurity training program less than a month ago, and we've had 6,500 people take that training. As we work from home, as we do things in a new way, cybersecurity training is so important to every application and to making sure that we're protecting all of Vermonters' information.
Let's bring another voice into this conversation as we're having it and thinking about IT systems at the state level. Dan Smith is the IT consultant for the legislature's Joint Fiscal Office. The JFO is a nonpartisan legislative-sponsored group that reviews budgets and program proposals. And so Dan Smith's role is to provide an independent review to lawmakers of IT projects. Hi, Dan. Nice to talk with you.
Good morning.
So, you know, we've been talking. Yeah, you know, morning, afternoon. What is time anymore anyway?
Yeah.
We've been talking about IT systems in general and in specifically the unemployment insurance system and the COBOL mainframe that it's been running on for 30 or 40 years and why that was just absolutely not something that could stand up to the onslaught of claims that came in when the governor issued this stay home, stay safe order and unemployment just skyrocketed.
Yep.
The legislature has known for as long as anybody else has about the unemployment insurance problems and the ways that the state was going about trying to fix it. You know, I'm not necessarily trying to apportion blame, but if there's a known price tag and a known problem, you know, how were you helping the legislature work through questions and issues around that system in particular, the UI system?
Right. That system was a little bit of a strange case. Normally, the systems that the JFO and myself get involved with are those that are demanding legislative funding. So in my position started back in 2015 as a result of request to the legislature for funding for IT systems that went to House institutions, corrections, Senate institutions, et cetera, capital bill type funded things. This was a strange one in that it is fully federally funded so that the legislature didn't have a lot of input into how it was going to be handled. We did look at this system back in late 2016, early 2017. And at that time, we said that the core concept was relatively sound. One of the things that I look at when I review projects for the legislature is, are they approaching it in the safest way for Vermont? And I guess we have kind of a special way of looking at things here that, you know, Vermont is a very capable state as far as IT, but it's a very small state. Our resources are limited. So when you get to big ticket items like Department of Labor system, it's not something that we normally want to take on our own. The best solutions are solutions that either other states have built that we can then, you know, bring them over and personalize them for Vermont, or a multi-state consortium. And that's also the federal take on these kind of projects, too. They don't want to fund 50 different state experiments in building a major new system. They would prefer to go for commonalities, you know, spread the risk, et cetera. So coming back to the UI system, the legislature did look at it, felt that the underlying concept was sound. There was certainly some issues and problems over the next couple of years. But given that it was a sound approach and no Vermont funding, the legislature didn't get that involved.
Hmm. You know, we were hearing from Secretary Quinn a few minutes ago, you know, that for one thing, the Agency of Digital Services, this consolidation, this increased sort of focused approach starting just a couple of years ago has helped. And, you know, we even saw during the Shumlin administration a lot of attention paid to all of the progress that had been made in Vermont's IT network and IT systems through his administration and a look ahead for the next 5 years. I was reading a 2015 report that was saying, here are our goals for the next 5 years. But, you know, we also still see a lot of issues and problems. And I mentioned this before, but also, again, still people will remember, like Heidi wrote in to say, let's not repeat the health insurance exchange debacle. And this was Vermont Health Connect when the federal Obamacare rules came into effect and Vermont had to create a new system and work through it. That, I mean, that just didn't work at all. So when you look, Dan Smith, at how the state is thinking about IT and this kind of infrastructure, what do you see as the approach, and is it the right one?
So the first approach we look at is the solution envisioned right for Vermont? And as I said, you know, we've got Secretary Quinn's agency has some really capable people, but I think he'd be the first to say that he doesn't have enough of them. There are projects that are just outside of the scope of what we can handle. So we look at, you know, is there a solution that is manageable by Vermont? And you know, in many cases, the ideal solution is something that, you know, is a commercial off-the-shelf product that we can just buy. Some of the projects are just not that way. I mean, Vermont has enough legislative uniqueness in the way that we do things that you just can't grab someone else's solution and bring it over here. So we look at, you know, what's the approach to the project? I mean, is it sound? And there's a number of other factors we consider. We look at, is the project justified? You know, are we spending money on something that we really need to spend money on? Do we have a clear sense of what the ultimate goal is? And this has been a failing of IT in the past, that the state will set off on some big project and really not know what it looks like if it was to succeed. And then the project over time just kind of goes in 12 different directions and you end up with nothing. We look at, does the state as an organization have the support ready to make this project work? And this kind of goes beyond IT. And let's go back to the unemployment insurance system. Even if the underlying IT component was totally sound, just the way the UI system works, it takes a lot of people involvement. So let's, you know, say magic happened and the IT system was fine. We wouldn't have had enough people to make it work. And this also becomes important when you change systems. You know, have you done the training necessary to get new users on board? And have you thought of all the contingencies of what can go wrong, et cetera? And then there's other things we look at, you know, project leadership and management, how much will the project cost, et cetera.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to chew over here. Let's go to another call. Will Sipsey is calling in from Lincoln. Will is a former IT manager at the Vermont Department of Labor. Will, what's your perspective on all of this?
Hi, Jane. Hi, Secretary Quinn. Good afternoon. Dan. It was odd because I was just looking through my files, and I came across the Joint Fiscal Office review of the IT modernization project for labor. And you know, I was thinking back to when I was brought in into labor by Commissioner Noonan and Tom Tomasi, who's the administrative director currently at the Department of Labor. You know, I felt like we had an achievable goal, and I felt like we were making strides towards standing up this system that was already stood up in Idaho, and replacing the tax system. And so the thing about the way that system was that project was designed and conceived, it was diametrically opposed to the vision that we see articulated many times in by the enterprise architectures who point out that, you know, the core competency of government is not IT, and the question would arise, does government actually have a core competency at all? But you know, I was part of the I worked at IBM. I started working as an engineer at IBM in 1996, and worked on several high visibility projects. I've never worked on a project that failed. And I believe it's my belief that if I had remained at labor, that I would have made this project succeed also. You know, it was not designed as a software as a service. It's basically designed that whole project, and it stood up and it is running in Idaho now. It's basically like the old model, the VABS model that was used as the banner system that was used in several COBOL systems that was used in several states. And it relies on state employed programmers, which I guess is, you know, having people hold state jobs is kind of out of fashion now.
Will, you actually bring up an interesting point there that I'm going to piggyback on with a listener comment. And thank you, Will, for calling in. Liz says, I'm a computer programming professor, and I'm absolutely blown away when I hear that Vermont still uses a COBOL-based system. Why upgrade if we may never have another pandemic? Because a COBOL system is so antiquated that it isn't supported or used virtually anywhere. It's going to break down even if there is never another pandemic. Who can fix it? No one in 2020 knows COBOL. Why does it cost so much? Because you can't fix this one. You have to build a new one. Outsourcing is the fastest and maybe cheapest way to go. But if you want to continue to function in this century, the system just simply must be changed. Not fixed, but changed to something used in this century. And I piggyback, Liz, on to you, Will, because, you know, she's talking about this need to have people who can service it and who's going to work in these programs and what language, what computer language are they speaking these days? What coding languages? And it just is interesting to hear Will's perspective on this, as well as Liz's and our guests today. And John Quinn, I want to give you the last word. You know, where are we moving forward on all of these projects into a place where, you know, we anticipate needing more of our things to be online, whether it's telemedicine, which we're going to talk about next, whether it's the state's IT systems, whether it's our filing systems, all of these things that at least in the next 18 months, but really moving forward in the future in general, how are we going to make sure that we are continually modernizing our IT infrastructure and making that a priority for the legislature, even when there's so much other stuff on the table? Secretary Quinn?
Well, as I talked about, you know, we're using common platforms, and I think that's one of the things that we can do the fastest and with the most certainty that we'll have a successful outcome. And I'll use a good example. The state used to maintain 14 different email systems. Over the past 10 years or so, we've consolidated down, and in the executive branch, we use one now. And we have that done through Microsoft as a service. We used to have a very large group of people that we needed to maintain that. Emails used to go down a lot to no fault of our own, or at least, you know, it may have been outside of our skill sets, but we're moving things out to outside people and to software as a service where the program is always up to date. The data centers are in protected areas where they meet all of the compliance and federal standards. Our data centers, you know, we continually have findings on. We're doing all of the things that we should be doing in order to be sustainable in the future. It just takes time. And as I said, we have 1,400 different applications, and currently I think 303 different projects going on that involve IT. So for a staff of 400 people, you know, I think like Dan Smith said, you know, we just don't have enough people to be able to do all this work. So we're trying to take an approach of moving things to software as a service with things like Salesforce, where we can stand up new things in 10 days or 2 weeks or 3 weeks and have things that are reliable.
Well, more to come certainly on this in the next weeks, months, and years. John Quinn is Secretary of the Agency of Digital Services. He's the state's Chief Information Officer. Secretary Quinn, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. And Dan Smith is IT consultant for the legislature's Joint Fiscal Office. Dan, I appreciate your perspective in this show as well. Thank you.
You're very welcome.